If you're in the oil and gas industry, you know how important it is to efficiently transport water to your next completion job. The folks at Western Company of Texas Oilfield and Transfer Service are your answer. They have a large inventory of irrigation pipe and transfer pumps available to fit your water transfer needs. And most importantly, they're ready to go 24 hours a day. Think Western Company of Texas, the best in oilfield water transfer service and the guys with the green pumps. To serve you better, call 940-389-3806. That's 940-389-3806.
It's the show you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and we've got a guest that's coming up that we heard a great response from you guys when he was on our program a few weeks back, so we had to invite him and join us again. Of course, we're going to be talking Sooner football with OUESPN.com's very own James Hale out of Norman, Oklahoma. James, how are you?
I couldn't get any better. You know, I don't have any dates with you lined up. That's the only negative thing. But outside of that, things are going good. But, we got a week and a half left of spring practice. They actually have the spring game on the 17th. And only two minor injuries, so to speak. Nobody's been lost for the season, so that's good. And, things are going well in Norman.
Tell us a little bit, James. Has it been any, back to basics, back to fundamentals? I mean, what has been the mindset, the approach? I'm assuming how many practice sessions have they had, 10 or 11?
Yeah, they've had, they will be going, they've had about 10. They still have about 5 left. And they always have one practice after the spring game. It's something they've just developed and, they've just come up with because they like to look at film, and then they come back and go one more practice and even have a scrimmage at the end of that practice. One of those, I'm not going to tackle you, but then they end up tackling each other the whole time. So they've gone to fundamentals so much that they've actually stolen or taken something from Alabama that they learned when Bob was there watching them practice, and that there's no idle time. There's no sitting around. They don't let the first unit run 6 plays and the second unit come in for 3. They basically have 2 practices going at once. And the first unit, the main guys are practicing on one end of the field, and the backups are doing the exact same thing on the other end of the field. They get more reps in this way, but what they basically do is they take away the idle time. So those backups that were usually regulated to backup reps, we always talk about it with quarterbacks, The first quarterback will get 7, the backup would get 2, and maybe the third guy would get 3, or he'd get every other series and get 1. Well, now that backup quarterback gets just as many reps as that starting quarterback, and so do those running backs, and so do those offensive linemen who have to learn those assignments. And sometimes those assignments will keep a player from developing and becoming a starter. So the more reps he gets, the better off that he is. And this has been a big difference in this spring. It's just a new way to practice, and it shows you that this coaching staff is proactive. They always have been. They have never been afraid to change something or to look at something else and say, that's better than the way we do it. Let's change it. And I think that's what keeps Oklahoma really on the cutting edge of what they're doing. And there's no doubt it has made a big difference this spring. All the guys are talking about it, and it is one of the major developments of the spring. How many reps and the tempo that they're practicing at this spring.
You talk about the reps, the tempo, how they're being proactive, the change. James, I mean, you've been covering Sooner football for, I'm going to guess here, just throw out a number, 25, 30 years. I mean, do you ever step back and just go, my goodness, the progression, how much the sport has changed and even the approach to the game right there in Norman, Oklahoma?
Well, no, it's been amazing. It really has. And yeah, I do sometimes reflect back on it. I'm proud to say a lot of those first teams that I covered were some of the greatest teams in college football history. The Sooners of 73, 74, 75, the 78 Sooners with Thomas Lott, maybe the greatest football team that never won a national championship. And then the 83, 84, 85, 86 teams that were really, really good. The Danny Bradley, the Bosworth era, the Tony Casillas, those players, Ricky Dixon in the secondary. And then, of course, the Stoops era. I've also seen some downtimes during the John Blake era and the Howard Snellenberger era, and some average football, with Gary Gibbs as the head coach. And so I've seen quite a bit, but there has been an amazing change. Think about how difficult it was for OU to go to the passing game when they were the most dynamic rushing football team in college football, running the wishbone. But they just realized that it was coming, that time was coming to the end, because they were having trouble signing quarterbacks, and the scholarship limits made it to the point that they couldn't have a stable full of running backs. You can't have 15 running backs on your roster when you can only sign 85 guys. And so when they cut down the scholarship limitations, it really made it tough to run that offense, and everybody started throwing the ball a little bit. And Cale Gundy, who's now the running back coach at OU, was really the first big-time passing quarterback they ever signed. When they had Steve Collins, they were still second in the nation in offense, but they weren't throwing the ball a bunch. And Gary Gibbs thought they really needed to go to a passing game to take this program full circle. Well, they went through some growing pains. There's no doubt about it. Cale did a good job as a starter, but boy, there were ups and downs. There were bumps and bruises. They were taking running backs and former quarterbacks and making them receivers, and it was just a tough go. Then the Snellenberger and Blake era really set OU back. And then of course Bob came in, and there was a good group of athletes that John did recruit that was here on campus, and the rest is history. Bob won a national championship in his second year, but even Bob took it to another level. He brings in Mike Leach the first year, and of course Mike with Hal Mumme, they were revolutionizing the college game, because they went to this spread offense where the running game really wasn't that important, and you throw the ball a bunch, and that's Oklahoma's offense the first year. It earned Mike a job as the Texas Tech head coach, and then OU went back when Mark Mangino took over as the offensive coordinator. They went back to a more balanced pro attack, which they've evolved into the offense that they're in now, that I know some pro scouts think Oklahoma's ahead of the curve in the kind of offense you really need to win college football. But the changes have been enormous from how they practice. Just think, back in the wishbone days, OU had that wishbone chart out there, E, and they ran that belly series over and over and over again. Now, in practice, they're trying to run 85 plays in 85 different formations, and it's just a dramatic difference today.
We are talking to James Hale with OUESPN.com, also with KREF 1400 AM right there in Norman, Oklahoma. He has been covering the Oklahoma Sooners college athletics for almost 30 years. James, where can guys go and find out more information on you? And I have to tell you, I was spying on you a little bit yesterday. I see that you guys are online. Your show is streamed online.
Yeah, Sports Talk 1400, The Ref, KREF. We are online, so people can listen to us anywhere in the world, and that's kind of a unique deal. See, you're a pretty girl. They don't mind looking at you, When they're going to look at me for 3 hours, they're probably going, where's the big E? How come we can't see E? And I'm going, hey, I'd love to. We ought to just bring you down in studio and have you just sit there and smile for everybody. That'd be good. Except there's one problem with that. You just can't sit there. You'd start going, wait a second, that's not right. I think they ought to do this. I think they ought to do that. So
I'd probably be like Myron Patton, and I know that I noticed you were kind of sitting down, cozying in your lazy boy chair there, but I'd be like Myron. I'd be standing up, walking, and talking at the same time. There's no doubt. Hey, James, I got to ask you, you'd get a great historical perspective and break down just how much the program has evolved throughout the years, the changes. Let's zero in. Let's talk about the O-line. Last year, 13 games, how many different starting rotations they had? What, 11 different O-line combinations. Will there be continuity this year? Are they identifying the players that they want in those positions?
Well, it's one of the biggest keys of the spring, and I think they're pretty happy there, and they think it's coming along. They did lose one player to injury, Eric Mincik, who was a converted tight end that when he played in the O-line last year at right tackle, he actually graded out the two games that he played it at better than any other lineman that he worked with in those two games. So they like his future. He's putting on some weight. They like his intelligence. He's long. He knows how to block. He knows how to get angles. And they really like him, but he's tore his MCL, and so he'll have minor surgery. Actually, he's not going to have any surgery, but he is going to miss the rest of the spring, and he'll be ready to go in the summer. They have identified some players. One of the big keys is Donald Stevenson at left tackle. When they recruited Donald out of Kansas, he was always regarded as a tremendous athlete, a guy what you want athletically at left tackle. And for the first couple of years, he just had trouble gaining weight. He also wasn't the greatest student. He was a little defiant at times, so he wasn't buying into the program like they liked. And even last year, because of his academic standing, they suspended him for the entire season. And when you think what happened in that play, that hurt them a great deal because he would have ended up starting at least two-thirds of the season. But they put him at left tackle, and they really feel like they have their next great lineman in Donald Stevenson. And he's grown up a little bit. He's a better student now. He actually earned academically his way back on the field. He's doing things better off the field. So they like what they see there. And they actually have competition at tackle because Corey Brandon, who started, I think, 10 out of the I think he started 10 games last year.
Yes.
After a slow start against BYU, he's back this year, more of a leader. It's his senior year. And Jarvis Jones, who started a few games at guard and tackle, is back from injury, and he's into that competition. So even though you lose Memphis, you still have three tackles they feel they can win with, and that's good. Now, where they've really solidified things is at guard. They got Tyler Evans at right guard, Stephen Good at left guard, and those two have been running at number one guard the entire spring. I think it really messed Stephen Good up when they worked him out at center some last year, and they put him at guard, and they've just gone there. They have Tavarius Jeffers behind him, and Bronson Irwin, a true freshman out of a great program in Oklahoma at Mustang, Oklahoma. Then at center, they moved Gabe Eichert, a former tight end. They moved him to center, and he's a big tight end at 270 pounds. He's real intelligent. He learned every offensive line play within 2 days. So he knows every position. He's learning how to play center. It's not been perfect for him. But, you know, he's in a position. Ben Habern's back from injury, and Ben's now back. He's the starting center. I think in the future you might see down the road a year or two where Ben's playing guard and Gabe's playing center. But right now that's kind of how they go. And then they have this safety valve and walk-on Brian Lepak, who actually started at Colorado State and walked on back at OU. And so they're pretty good now on the offensive line if all of those guys can stay healthy.
We're talking to James Hale this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We do want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. You can join us on Twitter, /eradiosports. James, are you on Twitter?
I'm not Twittering anywhere, so I don't think people want to know where I'm eating lunch at.
Yeah, but you can plug your show. I mean, it's not about the personal stuff. It's about, you know, plugging what your show is about and all these wonderful articles you're putting out there.
Well, what I've seen from most athletes, they do, it's like, hey, I'm trying to decide on this shirt or that shirt. One shirt's 380, the other shirt's 340. Like, the rest of us can really relate to that, right?
Absolutely. Okay, tell me this. You had mentioned talking about the return of Ben Habern. He broke his leg in, the Texas Tech game last year. Have you talked to him? I mean, how's he feeling? How is he progressing? Folks down here in Texas, of course, he went to Liberty Christian High School with Whitney Hand in Argyle.
Well, I'm shocked he's back this soon, to be honest. It shows you how tough he is. And, you know, OU has always had a tough center. You know, John Cooper had a very similar break and came back early. And, you know, he was just tremendous. And it just shows you, again, how tough they are. I'm a little surprised he's been. He says it doesn't bother him. They've been careful with him this spring. But he's a really good player, and I think injuries are the only thing that they're worried about because, remember, at the start of last season, he had a bad back, and that held him back, cost him reps. And now, you know, then he breaks his leg, and that's cost him some work. And they desperately want him to be able to go through the summer workouts. And that's so important in college football nowadays, and coaches look at it. If you don't make it through the summer workouts, or you don't get to go to the summer workouts, you're really behind in what you're doing. And he's real important to that football team. I think he's going to end up being a four-year starter. It's either going to be as a center or as a guard. It will probably be as the starting center for his 4 years. And he is really a good football player. And Stephen Good's also from Texas. And they're best friends. And Stephen's, now I know he was a little frustrated last year because he lost the starting spot at times, but he got it back. And this year he's getting every rep and every opportunity to earn that starting spot at the left guard spot so far this spring.
I have to ask you, now that Sam Bradford, he's moved on, is there a little bit different feel to the team right now? I know that Landry Jones, he's kind of, you know, finding his footing right now, and this is his team, but what is the pulse on that?
Well, I think it's a good thing for Landry that Sam has officially moved on. Even when Sam was injured and Landry was the starter, it was still Sam's football team, and you can just feel Sam hovering over the program last year. And, you know, especially when he came back for Texas and then he got hurt again, at that point everybody was resigned to the fact that Sam wasn't coming back, but still his presence hovered over the team. And it wasn't a bad thing, but it wasn't a good thing for Landry to establish himself. But now that Sam's gone, it's Landry's team. There's no doubt about it. Landry has had a great spring. He had a great bowl practice and had a great bowl game. And the coaches are really happy with him. It just doesn't happen very often that the coaches will actually say, hey, this guy's having a great spring, or this guy's doing well, but they brag on Landry all the time. And I think Landry has become the leader on this team. The coaches are confident in his leadership abilities. He's doing the exact same things quarterbacks in the past, and let's face it, OU's had a great run here at quarterback. He's doing the extra film work. He's calling the guys, making sure they're in study hall. He's basically becoming an extension of them as the starting quarterback. And he's just got a lot of good things going for him. People don't know it, but he's a very strong Christian, and what he believes in and his Christian beliefs, he wears them on his sleeve. He's not afraid to talk about it. He went to President Boren and asked for a morning prayer group and a room to hold this prayer group. And it was open to anybody on campus that wanted to do it. And President Boren said, sure, and they found a space. And I'm not sure how it's grown, but I understand it's pretty big now.
We're talking to James Hale this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. As always, he's bringing it. He's sharing some really great stuff. You know, it is interesting because usually in years past, coaches are a little bit more, they don't come out and really share that much in terms of, with the presumptive starting quarterback. Of course, the offensive coordinator, Kevin Wilson, saying, Landry's more confident. Coach Stoops saying that, from the first scrimmage that he's been solid, he's been very solid. And you just like to see how he's continuing to progress and how the team, how they're embracing him. My question to you is, what are some of the other offensive players that have really stood out to you in some of the scrimmages?
Well, they're holding out Ryan Broyles and they're holding out DeMarco Murray. So that's their two best offensive players. They don't really get to scrimmage. They don't need to. Everybody knows what they're going to do. Ryan's going to be a Heisman Trophy candidate, in my opinion. He's a great receiver. When he's on, he's liable to get 3 touchdowns and 200 yards in receiving and another 80 in punt returns. And those numbers are going to be hard not to pay attention to. So, I think that they're really good there. I think a couple of guys that have really stood out at this point, Brandon Caleb, who was a part-time starter last year at wide receiver, suffered a pulled hammy, and that hurt him. Then Ryan Broyles emerged. I think he's having a great spring. He's a senior. He's really trying to focus on leadership, and, he's doing some great things. And I think James Hanna is another skilled player at tight end, who is one of the best athletes on the team. Every time they test, Hannah will test as one of the top 4 or 5 pure athletes on the team, but they've not been able to get that kind of athletic ability on the field. He did make a couple of catches in the Sun Bowl, and they're hoping the red light has come on, and he's having a pretty good spring. And then at running back, who's the guy that's going to share reps with DeMarco? That's still to be determined. Jeremy Calhoun was the number 1 back in Texas a couple of years ago. He's a bigger back, and he's had a pretty good spring. He's had some good moments. Moses Badu is a 5th-year senior that they've moved back to running back. And they're always trying to find a way to get Moses on the field, and maybe this will be the way they do it. And Jonathan Miller, another great running back out of Texas, had knee surgery, and he hasn't been cleared yet to go back through spring practice. But he might be the best of the 3. So that's still to be determined at running back, who is going to share those reps with DeMarco Murray. And somebody, you don't play this season anymore with 85 to 90 plays being run in a football game with just 1 running back. Nobody does that anymore.
Of course, Oklahoma's annual spring football game is set for Saturday, April 17th. We will look forward to catching up with James, getting the latest on that. I do have to ask you, with the NFL draft quickly approaching, Sam Bradford, how is his stock, and will he be the top choice for those St. Louis Rams?
Man, after his pro day, if he's not, then I don't know what those guys are looking for. I really don't. With his season, the 2 seasons that he had, and the great pro day that he had, the Wonderlic test, that he understood what a tree was, whatever they asked him. he was able to pass that, I think he's going to be the number 1 pick. The great thing about it, and I'll say this until I go to my grave, this football team would have been a great football team if it wasn't besieged by injuries. The NFL draft's going to prove it. They're going to have 3 guys that are taken in the top 6 or 7 of the draft, and they're going to have 4 to 5 guys picked overall in the draft. And the guy that's going 24th and 25th is Jermaine Gresham, and he may be the best athlete of the group. And that's how good and gifted they were. They were just so banged up. They never could get any continuity, and they lost all that talent. But OU's got great talent in this draft, and you're going to hear Oklahoma's name mentioned quite a bit.
Well, I enjoyed catching up with, of course, defensive tackle Gerald McCoy. I mean, he certainly has power, speed, and enthusiasm. What an exceptional young man. Have you spent a lot of time around him?
Yeah, I have, and I'm proud to say Gerald's a friend, and so is his daddy, and, you know, they're great people. And when he lost his mama, that was one of the most unique funerals I've ever been to, because they celebrated her life, so they were singing, they were cheering. There was great things said, but everybody was crying in the arena. They had it at a big church in Oklahoma City, and so it was a church, not an arena, but it looked like an arena. It was so big, you know. And the Gerald's just kind of, you know, he came through that, and it's actually made him stronger. And he still talks about his mom and talks about his dad. And I know this: he's one great football player. OU's had some great defensive tackles under Jackie Shipp. Tommy Harris always seems to be the guy that's the bell cow. They really set the bar up there, but Dusty Dvorak was tremendous, and Remy Iadole started for the Super Bowl champion New Orleans Saints, and now you have Gerald McCoy coming along, and if Adrian Taylor can get healthy, he'll be an NFL player too. So they always have good talent at defensive tackle. It's one of the key reasons why OU always plays good defense.
We are getting ready to wrap up our interview with James Hale with OUESPN.com. Quickly, before we wrap it all up, tell us a little bit about, as far as Willie Waring making the announcement earlier this week that he plans to enter the NBA draft. Is that a good thing? What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't think it's ever a good thing for that program with good players leaving. It's a good thing for Willie if he still gets drafted in the first round and still gets first-round money, if that's the case. Willie's a nice guy, one of the most misunderstood guys on OU's campus, and but this basketball team is going through a lot right now. Tommy Mason Griffin leaving, the OU has to look into the inquiry with Tiny Gallen, and, you know, how did he get that $3,000 that's been reported by TMZ, or if it even exists, or what's going on with that. Ray Willis has left the team, and Ray really wasn't going to play anyway, you know, but they've had a number of guys leave, and you have the three guys that graduate. He's got to put together a roster again. He needs basketball players. And they've got two guys signed, and they're going to try to sign four to five other guys. So he's got to – no use. Jeff's got to put together pieces to this team. And now assistant coach Ronde Taliaferro has also decided to step down from his position. So it's another change in the program, and Ronde was a really good recruiter. I'm not sure what went on there or what happened there. I'm a little surprised about that. You know, but a lot of changes in the men's program. It's going to be interesting to see how it all comes out next year.
So, James, what will Coach Capel do? Will he just go to the junior college ranks to start securing players quickly to make an immediate impact?
Well, he has no choice at this point. I mean, he's still in on two really good high school players, Terrence Jones and Terrence Ross, out of Portland, Oregon. But, Jones is a McDonald's All-American. He's one of the elite players in the country. He can go anywhere. And I'm not saying he won't come to OU. It's just hard to get a feel for what he's going to do, and I think Ross will go wherever he goes. And those are the remaining high school players they're in on. Everybody else is a junior college player. You know, they're bringing in a couple this weekend, and Nick Thompson, a power forward out of Eastern Utah, and Marquise Carter, a point guard, 6'4" point guard. He's almost as tall as you, out of Missouri. His brother Nate at Three Rivers Community College, his brother played at OU, and I think OU's going to get both those players, but boy, they need to get more than just two, and so signing some quality JUCOs is going to be a key.
We'll certainly keep our eye on that. You know, I have to ask you as we get ready to wrap it up, but Willie Waring, I mean, where will he land as far as on his feet in terms of the NBA? I mean, we've paid very close attention to him here in Fort Worth. He's a graduate of North Crowley High School. I know his high school coach, Tommy Brackle. Your thoughts?
Well, I think he's a real talented player. Again, I think he's pretty misunderstood. Every time I've talked to pro people, they've said good things about him. I mean, he's so good that they nitpick him, you know what I mean? Well, he doesn't shoot the jump shot this way or that way, or he doesn't quite jump this way, or I don't like his haircut, you know, it's whatever, you know? I mean, it's that's how good he is, because he's one of those guys that I think before the season started, he was going to be a lottery pick. So Willie is a really, he's slated, some people have him in the middle of the first round, some have him at the end. some have him falling out of the first round. Jeff Cable believes that he's going to go to private workouts and wow those guys, and he's going to be so good at his private workout that he's going to end up somewhere in the middle of the pack. But think about it this way. If he goes in the end of the first round, I know he needs his money, but he's with a really good team, and he's going to get a guaranteed contract on a really good team, and maybe that's the way to go. I don't know, but I have no doubt Willie's going to be a solid and a good NBA player.
Outstanding stuff. James Hale has been along with us this weekend with OUESPN.com. Check out all of his articles. James always doing a super job. Thank you so much. And stay on the line, James. I want to catch up with you, okay?
All right.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a minute.